City of Destruction, an audio drama by JesusForSinners.com. Episode 6.
Mark?
Oh, hi, Ken.
Got a minute?
Sure. Come on in. Have a seat.
I've been pretty busy since you started. I haven't had time to see how things are going for you.
Good. I'm working on that new scheduling app.
Oh, that's a good one. It's got a lot of visibility. It'd be nice to have that one under your belt. Make a good first impression.
I just thank God every day that I'm finally working. You don't know how stressed I was getting. But God taught me that I have no need to worry when He's the one in control.
Huh. Yeah, isn't that the truth? I need to do a better job of remembering that.
Just pray, Ken. I found that helps a lot.
Yeah. So, how are you getting along with everyone?
Pretty good, I guess, for the most part. People have been pretty nice.
For the most part?
Well, the first time I was in the cafeteria and prayed before I ate, some of the guys at the table looked at me kind of funny.
Yeah, they probably hadn't seen that before.
Yeah, and then last week I was in a meeting and someone blasphemed Jesus. I told him that I thought that was disrespectful, and everyone just kind of looked at each other. Since then, it seems like they do that whenever I'm around, you know, just to kind of wind me up.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. Sad to say.
But I pray every day and ask God to get me through and be a good witness for Him. Who knows, maybe He'll convict someone and make them stop and think about what they're doing. All I can do is try to be faithful and just leave the rest up to Him.
Well, Mark, if it's any consolation, you've helped me just by telling me these things. Maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting me a little. I know I don't stand up for Jesus the way I should. I think I need to pray for the strength you're talking about.
I know I couldn't do it on my own, Ken. I need God to get me through. I just pray that I don't let Him down.
Yeah, I have a lot of making up to do in that area. Anyway, I just wanted to check in. Good to hear the work's okay anyway. Well, I'll see you at the company rally after work.
Yeah, about that. I'd rather not go to that.
Oh? Why not?
I really don't want to be around all those people drinking.
You don't have to have anything.
I know, but I'd just rather not be around it. I don't spend my time outside of work with people doing that. I'm not really interested in doing that at work.
I understand, but it's just kind of a team-building thing.
Well, I don't want people to think I condone that kind of thing. It'd make me look like a hypocrite. And besides, I have trouble dealing with the language people use around here when they're sober. I don't want to even think about what they say after they've had a few drinks in them.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, well then, we'll just see you next week. Have a good weekend, Mark.
You too, Ken.
This is an historic day for our city. Today is the day that we officially recognize the rights and the value of all our citizens. This morning, I, along with the rest of the City Council, unanimously passed the gay marriage bill and sent it to City Council President McGuire for her signature. As you know, just about an hour ago, President McGuire signed the legislation and the United City became a city of hope and fairness and family for everyone. As a longtime proponent of family values, I can't tell you how proud I am to have been a part of this historic legislation. And I promise you that if on election day you choose me to serve you as the new City Council President, I will continue to fight for the citizens of this great city and for the families of all kinds, just as I've done my whole career.
I just can't believe it. Your whole career?
Ah, Madeline, what a crowd. Look at them. I think this is going to do it, Madeline. I think this is going to push us over the top.
Well, Bob, it does look like you've got the crowds behind you.
Yeah, Madeline. Mike and his people were right. I can't believe what a difference this has made. This is going a lot smoother than our last campaign. We've got a bigger lead and a broader coalition. Man, I should have done this a long time ago.
Well, you were being loyal to your base before, Bob.
Do I detect a bit of displeasure in your voice, Madeline?
Bob, this goes against everything you've ever stood for. Why are you doing this?
Well, first, I've always stood for families. The definition of family is much broader than it used to be. But the principle is the same. Second, I'm doing this so I can put myself in a position to serve the city and make it better. And it's working, Madeline. Just think of all the things we're going to be able to accomplish.
But what about all the Christians that have supported you in the past? How are you going to help them?
What are you talking about, Madeline? Most of the Christian denominations are behind me.
You know what I mean, Bob.
Madeline, I am helping to bring them into the broader community. Let's face it, Madeline, they're going to have to do something to catch up with the rest of society, or they're just going to be left behind. You know their numbers. Their membership's shrinking. They're not even a majority of the Christian community, much less the broader community. But I can help them, Madeline. I can be the bridge for them to moderate their position. I can help integrate them back into the mainstream. They can still stand for family values, just like I am. They can hold on to their traditions. They just need to be more tolerant and inclusive. If they do this, they're going to get more members. I'm helping them more than they know. I'm kind of like Moses. I'm leading them into the wilderness, even if they might not want to go. But I can get them to the promised land if they just follow my lead.
What if they don't want to go?
Well, then their numbers will continue to shrink. They'll be outsiders in their own Christian community. And they'll be outsiders in the rest of society. I don't want to see that happen. That's why I still want their support. I want to help them. But if they don't want my help, it's only a matter of time before they'll be more irrelevant than they are now. I mean, come on, Madeline. Does anyone think they need them anymore? Look how great we're doing without their support. If they're smart, they'll hop on board before the train leaves the station, or else they'll have no one left to represent them.
What happened to standing up for the rights of all our citizens?
Come on, Madeline, we're winning. Get excited. You worry too much about things. We've got a broad coalition. We're going to win this election in a landslide. Start thinking about the things we're going to accomplish for this city. Think of all the good we're going to do.
Yeah, I know it's great, Bob. I just can't stop thinking about that lady at the town hall a few weeks ago. The one that asked you about this gay marriage bill. I actually talked to her at the grocery store about a month ago. Her husband's a pastor. I just can't help but feel like we're letting her down and all the other people like her.
Well, maybe after the election we can have a town hall with people like that and explain how we can move forward in a way that benefits everyone, including them.
I'm not sure that'll be enough. They seem to really hold to these beliefs.
Well, frankly, Madeline, they're going to have to get over it. This is the way things are moving. I can help them if they want it, but this is the way things are moving. I can't stop progress for a whole city because of a few outliers that want to ignore reality. You're with me on this, right, Madeline? I got to know you're with me.
I'm with you, Bob. You know, I always have been. I just don't want you to make a mistake.
Madeline, you worry too much. You're just like my mother. And I love you for it. I'm glad you're always looking out for me. Keep doing it. We're going to accomplish so much when we get in office, Madeline. Focus on that. That'll get your engines going.
Yeah, it will. You know how I get during a campaign. I'm sure I'll be less worried when we've won and we move on to governing.
Soon, Madeline. Very soon.
faster.
Andrea, come in, come in. Have a seat.
I'm sorry to bother you. You're probably getting things ready for church tomorrow.
It's okay. I'm actually a bit ahead of schedule. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm having lots of problems at work.
Oh, can you talk to your boss about it?
My boss is one of the problems.
Oh, no. That makes it harder.
But it's not really that. It's more about me. Oh, Pastor, I'm so worried that I'm failing Jesus. There are all these things that keep coming up. Things where I should be standing up for him, and I'm not. I'm just not. I feel terrible.
Have you been praying about these things? Asking God for strength?
Yes, I do that, and I'm still afraid. It's like there's something every day. Pastor, you can't imagine how bad it is. You can't believe the things they're teaching the kids in these schools. The things I'm teaching them.
Have you talked to your boss about the concerns that you have?
I do that, and every time I do, I get in trouble. I almost got fired over the summer before I even started.
I didn't hear about this.
It was about the human reproduction curriculum they want me to teach these kids. You can't believe how bad it is. Planned families put it together.
Oh, no. I can only imagine how bad it must be.
It's even worse than you think. If someone gave this material to a kid in a mall or a park, they'd be arrested. But because it's in a school, it's okay.
Have you talked to them about having someone else teach the class?
Someone from Planned Families is actually going to do the teaching. They want me to learn from them. But if I'm there, it's like I'm endorsing what they're teaching. I already have a big problem with that.
What do you mean?
It's not just the human reproduction curriculum. We haven't even gotten to that yet. It's all the other stuff, too. Under the guise of tolerance, I've been telling these kids that there's no difference between married people, people who live together without being married, gay people raising kids. I can't believe the things that are coming out of my mouth. This goes against everything I believe, and I'm telling these kids it's okay.
Can you tell the kids that this is what the school teaches, but that other people have different views?
Oh, no. That would be intolerant. That's the kind of thing I'm supposed to teach them not to do. We actually tell them that even if their parents don't believe these things, they're supposed to believe this anyway. Oh, sure, we're supposed to explain to them that their parents just grew up in a different time and that there was more discrimination back then. It's like we're supposed to turn these kids against their parents.
Oh, wow. Do the parents know about this?
Some do. There was an incident 2 months ago when we had several classes and assignments on women's rights. We touched on abortion and how it was a big stride forward for women's equality. One of the assignments was to write a paper on how important this right was for women and why it's so important that it not be taken away. Well, the family of one of my students complained to the principal and wanted their daughter exempted from the assignment. They were told that she had to do it. It was part of the curriculum. Principal Harper told me that if she didn't do the assignment, that I was to give her a zero for the whole section, even for the homework she'd already done.
Wow, is that legal?
It's part of the approved curriculum. Every child in this city has to do this.
I'm surprised something like that actually made it into the curriculum.
Well, it seems like not a lot of parents have a problem with this. The ones who do don't have enough power to do anything about it.
This reminds me of something I read a long time ago. I didn't think much of it at the time because it seemed so improbable.
What is it?
Well, it was about a group that wanted to radically change society, have a more centralized system where authority rested with people who felt that they knew what was best for everyone else.
How could that happen in a city with all our freedoms?
That's what I thought. The whole thing seemed so crazy that I just kind of dismissed it. But now that you mention all these things going on in your school, I'm reminded of what they said about education. They wanted to get the kids away from their parents as soon as possible so they could teach them society's values rather than the values of their parents. The goal was uniformity of thought. If everyone thinks the same way, then society would be more at peace, less conflict. It's very utopian.
Yes, but why are they so focused on these moral issues? Isn't it about political ideology and things like that?
Well, they thought they could bring down our culture by undermining our moral strength, getting us to reject the Christian values that had been part of our city since its founding. Andra, you always have to look beyond the motives of people and look at the motives of the devil. People might have all sorts of reasons for doing all sorts of things, but remember Ephesians 6 verse 12. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Ask yourself, why would the devil want kids to believe these things?
So that they can think that sin is okay.
Exactly. Why do you think we're bombarded with sinful images and entertainment and ideas wherever we go in the city? The more people are exposed to these things, the more normal they seem. Why do you think I keep telling our congregation to be careful of the things they put in their eyes and ears and mind?
Yeah, you keep telling us that, but I guess I never realized how pervasive it is. I mean, that people would actually be exposing us to this on purpose, even to kids.
The devil's always been out to help man with his own corruption. You mentioned that most of the parents aren't concerned with the things being taught at your school. Why do you think that is?
Probably because their own lives are so busy. They're just thankful someone's babysitting their kids all day.
That's right. See what's happened to our families? Both parents are working and no one's raising our children except the schools, the culture, and the media. The primary educators, the moral educators of our children, the parents, are too busy to do their job. So they're more than willing to give that job to someone else.
Why would someone want to let someone else teach their kids these things, especially if it contradicts their own values?
Well, sadly, as you've touched on, the value of the culture are the values of most parents. Some complain, like the family you mentioned, but others are just fine with these things, or just don't know what's going on and don't have the time to find out. After two or three generations of people thinking primarily of themselves and what they can get and how they can satisfy them, the care of children has taken a back seat. Oh, sure, people say they care, but what are they willing to sacrifice? Not their career, not their big house in the nice neighborhood. The culture of our city is all about what people can have and have now.
It's just hard for me to believe that people think these are good things to teach their children.
Well, Andrea, there's a reason we don't have many people in our church. The truth is, the people of our city are fine with kids knowing these things and believing these things. They don't want their kids to be seen as intolerant or narrow-minded. It would reflect poorly on the parents.
And I'm no better. I'm the one that's been teaching these kids these things. Do you know what I did a couple of weeks ago? I told a girl not to write an essay about Jesus. I told her not to write about Jesus.
Oh, Andrea.
I don't know what I'm going to do, Pastor. I've made such a big mess of things already. I go home every night and ask God to forgive me for what I've done. And then I turn around the next day and do the same thing.
Do you remember 2 Timothy 3, verse 12?
Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
You know, we read these things and we believe what the Bible says, but sometimes there's a disconnect between what we read and what we understand. It isn't until we're faced with these things that we actually see how serious these warnings are. You've heard about the things going on in the other cities, yes?
Yes, I read about them. Terrible things. Christians being tortured, kidnapped, killed. Whole neighborhoods being burned down. Christians being killed in their churches. But those cities are so far away. I guess it's always seemed so distant to me.
The Bible gives us these warnings for a reason. We've been blessed for a long time. Our city was founded by Christians. Oh, sure, there's always been scoffers, but we never institutionalized sin. In the past, everyone knew these things were wrong, even if they were doing them. The government, the society, reminded people that these things were wrong. It even criminalized many of the sins that go on today. But then things started to change. We got too proud. The Bible warns about pride. It leads people to think they're smarter than God and in a position of moral authority to actually judge God. No surprise that people decide that God's immoral for not letting them indulge in their sins with impunity.
I guess I just never realized how big of a thing this is. I mean, I've always known that we live in a fallen world. Maybe my parents just kept me shielded from a lot of it.
And that's a good thing. We're not supposed to love the things of this world or seek to be friends with the world.
We're not supposed to be friendly with the world?
Not friendly, friends. We should always be kind to others. God wants us to do this. We're to love others as we love ourselves. This reflects God in us and glorifies God. But we're not supposed to be a friend of the world. Tell me, Andrea, what makes people friends?
Well, I guess it's when they have things in common.
Exactly right. So tell me, what should we have in common with the wicked things of this world, with the values and the priorities of this world?
Nothing.
That's right. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. I will receive you.
So what are you saying? Are we supposed to just live in a commune or something like that?
No. But we're not supposed to do the things they do. Our priorities are not their priorities. So many Christians are so desperate to fit in or not be left out that they indulge in the same things the world indulges in. They think it's harmless, but it grows worse and worse. Remember what we talked about before, desensitizing people to sin?
Wow, I never thought about that.
Remember, the devil didn't tell Adam and Eve to pick up swords and rebel against God. He just told them to have some fruit. This is why I always warn our congregation not to get attached to the things of the world. The more they become part of our lives, the harder it is to let them go.
I have to admit, I haven't done a good job of keeping worldly things out of my head. I do all the media stuff. I worry about what people think of me. And I've been telling these kids all these terrible things at school just so I can keep my job.
Well, Andrea, we're all going to have to make choices. There's going to be a price for living godly in Christ Jesus. Other Christians in other cities already know this. I think we're finding it out more and more.
I don't know how I could ever face one of those Christians in those other cities. They go through so much, and I can't stand up for anything.
We're all just dust, Andrea. We need the strength of God's Spirit to help us do the right things. We just haven't had a lot of practice asking Him for strength. We've had it pretty easy compared to those other cities.
Not much longer.
That's right. I don't think they'll be burning the church down soon, but as you've already seen, there are other ways of making us compromise, making us comply, without going to those lengths.
Like threatening your job?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if that were the next thing. We probably don't hear much about it because the media doesn't want Christians to appear persecuted. It might elicit some sympathy from someone somewhere else, and we can't have that.
Oh, Pastor, what am I gonna do?
Keep praying, Andrea. Ask God to give you wisdom. Ask Him for the strength to do the right thing.
But what if I lose my job?
Well, Andrea, what are you willing to give up to do God's will?
But how will I take care of myself? I've gone to school so I can do this. What am I going to do for a job?
Andrea, at some point we just have to trust God's going to take care of us. It may not be the way we planned. It may be more difficult than we ever imagined. But Andrea, if God loves us, don't you think His plan for us would be better than anything we could come up with ourselves?
Oh, Pastor, I just want to do the right thing.
Just pray, Andrea. Ask God to help you with the situation at school. Who knows, you might be the instrument that God uses to change things around there. You might be the only one at that school that can impact those kids for God, while the rest of the system is trying to capture them for the world.
Maybe, I hope so. I'd like to be able to do something to glorify Him with this job He's given me. So far, I feel like I've done nothing but let Him down.
Rely on His strength, Andrea. You'll be amazed what He'll do through you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Can I pray for you, Andrea?
Oh, yes, Pastor. Please.
Father, please help Andrea. Please give her the strength to be a strong witness for you in her school and a light to those children. Thank you for giving her the opportunity to serve you. Please help her be a good and faithful servant. For your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Harold! Harold!
Carol, what's wrong?
They just signed the gay marriage bill. I heard it on the radio.
Oh, no. I can't believe it.
It sounds like we're all going to need prayer now.